Welcome, welcome, welcome to Nasanta's Reel. This is episode 8 of season 3, and you're listening to Nasanta. Well, Shakira is my real name. Oh my god, this is about to get confusing because we're using the play on words with real. So my R-E-A-L real name is Shakira, but my R-E-E-L name when I come on this reel, or when I'm on IG reel, it is Nasanta. So anyway, welcome to Nasanta's Reel, especially if you are a first-time listener. Listen, you are now a part of the Reel family. And if you're a returning my real cousin, welcome. Welcome, everybody. And oh, welcome to June. How's June been so far? For me, it has been pretty interesting. It has been one where I have much urgency to read the word more and to stay in communication with God and have my soul right, because life is short. June has just started and there have been so many different deaths, so many different incidents, accidents as well. And I'm just so thankful. So that's it for me. You can reach out to me and let me know how it has been for you. But anyway, as you can see by the title, we are examining characteristics of the lukewarm Christian. We're doing that heart check because we need to do it. We need to check our motives now and then. And this topic, it came to me this morning while I was reading Exodus 15 and reading Exodus 16. And we're going to dive deeper into it. But yeah, it's something that we need to talk about, because the truth is, unless we use the word as a meter or something as a reflection, as a mirror, we won't know how dirty we are or how clean we are, and vice versa, how much work we need to get in our appearance, whether it is the appearance of the heart or outwardly, we don't know. So we're going to be using the word to correct us and let us get more adorned, properly adorned for righteousness. So yeah, welcome, and don't go.
Struggling the soul, feeling like you're nothing. We got a word and that is a sure thing. Don't believe in fake, activate your faith. We're the real ones and we got you. We got you.
Said I was reading Exodus 15 and 16 this morning. How I even went over to chapter 16 was because while reading, it got interesting. I wanted to see more into the life of these Israelites, and I was reading from the Amplified Version. To be honest, I've started to read the Amplified Version since last week after doing more intensive research about the three types of translations. So you have the word for word translation, and you have the thought by thought, and then you have the paraphrased. And what that means is that, like, the word for word Bible translations, these were they tried as much to maintain the original meaning in translating these Bibles into our language. So, you know, the Bible was originally written in Greek and Hebrew. So, like, King James Version, New King James, and Amplified, they try as much to have translated the words with the original meaning, like the Greek meaning of this, into English. And yes, so we get it. So we get the overall essence. So yeah. And I was reading in chapter 15, you know, the song of Moses and Israel, and then it went down where the Lord provided water for them. And the poem that they were singing unto the Lord was after Pharaoh and his army had pursued them, and they actually drowned into the sea. And the Israelites, no, they would have passed over and gone into the other side, and they saw that the Lord was with them. So they sung a song, right? Season of breakthrough, of course, may I give God thanks. But then a little bit further, days in the journey, when they were at the wilderness of Shur, they had no water. And because they had no water, they were crying for to the Lord for help. And they were crying to the Lord for help. And eventually, the Lord listened and instructed Moses to cut down a tree into the water. And the water became very sweet. And the Lord spoke to them, and they camped near the waters for a while. But then I didn't want to stop there. That was chapter 15. I was like, no man, this story is interesting. This is very interesting. And then I said, all right, skipping over to Exodus 16. Over there now, we see where the Lord provided manna for them, and the Lord provided meat, right? Also, the Lord spoke to them about the Sabbath, you know, having for them to rest, maintaining the Sabbath, resting, so that they wouldn't be gathering food that day. But anyway, the overall essence of why I'm picking out the lukewarmness and to check our state is because these people, just like us, had just had a season of breakthrough. Before, they felt oppressed and the Lord came through for them, right? But moving forward, they thirsted, and they grumbled unto Moses. Eventually, because of the bitterness, so they were drinking bitter water. I believe that bitter water was a reflection of their state of heart, right? They weren't in total relationship with God. So that's the thing for us many times. If we're not at that place where we are at peace with what God is doing, even though the conditions are not as glorious and as beautiful as we would have wanted, if we're not at that place, everything is going to be bitter. We will not see the hand of God in it. And of course, it was a reflection. It was literally a reflection of their state of heart. And eventually, something dawned onto me, where in verse 25, it says, there the Lord made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And there's a note in the Amplified Version that says, God tests his people to see if they're learning from past experiences and growing in spiritual maturity. So that is something that we have to always keep in mind, that sometimes when things are going upside down, it is not entirely bad. After all, we're living in an upside, well, as children of God, we should be practicing to live in an upside down kingdom. For instance, the least is seen as greatest. Yeah. So this bitter situation is to make me be sweet. Well, no one likes that. I certainly don't like that. So not because I am the one sharing this message, it means that I am at peace. I'm still learning. God is still strengthening my maturity, right? But anyway, he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen and pay attention to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and listen to his commandments, and keep foremost in your thoughts and actively obey all his precepts and statutes, then I will not put on you any of the diseases which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Right? The Lord spoke this. And that's the thing. Many times when we're going through a bitter situation, the Lord sends a word. He always sends a word. He will let you know, just trust me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. For I know the plans I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. No good thing will I withhold from them who walk uprightly. These words come to us, but then we get so excited in that moment, and we do not meditate on the word. We do not allow the words to go into our hearts. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Grumbling and having bitterness will cause you to sin against God. But like I said, we don't allow the word to pass through the innermost parts of our bodies. We just want it to be on our lips and we utter it out. We have lip service. And then we just let it go. And then another situation comes. And because the words of the Lord were so easy to slip out of our tongue, the grumbling and the complaining, which we have hidden in our heart because we were not guarding our hearts with the word, because the word of God should be that breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness goes back to obedience. It goes back to being actively obeying, which is what he instructed, to keep foremost in your thoughts and actively obey all his precepts. So because we are a rebellious set of people, not having our hearts guarded, the issues of life are seeping in and we have garbage out. It is not what enters the man that defileth the man, but what comes out. It is what comes out. So what are we saying? And based on what we're saying, what are we doing? Why are we putting down God? Now, these are some of the things that happen to the lukewarm Christian. Because we don't have a deep connection with God. We are working with his hand and not from it, with his heart, with his nature. So as soon as something doesn't happen the way we want it to happen, who is God? Why you never just make me stay in my Egyptian lifestyle, in my season of oppression? Why have you allowed me to be passing through this wilderness, this darkness? Everything is so bitter. But don't you see that in the bitterness, he's making things sweet? If you just trust him, if you just stay deepened in his root, he will allow the branch to pass through the waters. Remember that he says that he is the living vine. He is the vine. So that means that everything that you need to be connected to is connected to him. So you just need to abide. And you will have everything the way that you need it to. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if I'm never in want, that means I'm never in need. We just need to trust God. One would have thought that after the Lord spoke to them and tested them and gave them water, that these children would now understand the loving nature of God to say, he's going to see if we have learned from our past. One would have thought that they would have passed that test, especially in verse 27 where it says, then the children of Israel came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. The thing about God when you choose to abide is that, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So they were never in want at this point. They were beside green pastures, by still waters, sweet waters. They had springs of water and 70 date trees. And they camped there. And one would have thought, like I said, that they're okay now. They see God's hand and they're going to trust. But like I said, something about ending here did not sit right with me. So I went over to Exodus 16, where after they set out, they left Elim. They left the green pastures, so one would see, I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, but they did fear. So all the congregation, they went to the wilderness of sin. Again, according to the Amplified Version, it is pronounced seen in Hebrew, and it means the place. So although the words are spelled the same way in English, sin is not necessarily related to the sin in Hebrew. In that Hebrew is not related to what we call sin. However, it's interesting how this, we could call it a homophone or something like that, that this wilderness of sin allowed these people to just sin. To just sin. And we're gonna go deeper. We're gonna go deeper. So, wait, let me pause for a bit. I hope by now you've gotten your notebook out, your Bible, and you're just excited to explore the Word of God by yourself and to look up, you know, Greek meaning and all them things there. Because, yeah, the Word of God is sweet, 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 better than any bitter water. Yeah, but hope you follow. Go in your Bible, too. Don't just stick with me, I say. Go in your Bible as well. Always go and test what the preacher is saying if it's up to what God has in his words. So yeah, they were in the wilderness of sin. And while they were in the wilderness of sin, like, eventually, again, they started to get discontented and they started to murmur and rebel against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And they started to talk about how it would have been better if they had died. It would have been better for them to be in Egypt eating the different luxurious meat them where them did not eat, what them not supposed to eat. And they must say that better than for while working under in the oppressive situation, instead of God having them out here. And no, there isn't any cycle, there isn't any, there's this terminology, man. Like this routine. So they're out of routine and they don't know what to do. And that's the thing for us. Listen, when you are using faith, it's going to be different from what it is that you're used to. And I kind of like that because most times it helps you, if you are wise, to learn how to totally lean in on God. Yeah, to totally lean in on God. Because if not, you're going to feel like you're a co-pilot. When literally you should be going into autopilot mode and allowing God to be the one to take you to your destination. You for just chill. But when things are done in routine, we are like, yo, calm down. We're going to take this part. But then pilot over here, so I say, yo. And I say, go. Yeah, too much bag of chattings. Yeah, confusion. Yeah, all them things here. But anyway, that was what was happening. And the Lord heard it. So that's the thing. Sometimes we're there talking to ourselves, talking to our leaders, talking to our friends. God, I hear the situation. You're there complaining, but God, I hear the situation. So in God hearing the situation, he spoke to Moses and he was like, yo, here's the new thing that I'm going to do. Behold, I will cause bread to rain from heaven for you, and the people will have to go out and gather this portion every single day, so that I may test them to determine whether or not they will walk obediently in my instruction, which is my law. And it shall be that on the sixth day they shall prepare to bring in twice as much as they gather daily, so that they will not need to gather on the seventh day. Because, you know, the Lord was still respecting the Sabbath. So Moses and Aaron said to all Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your murmurings against the Lord. What are we that you murmur and rebel against us? Moses said, this will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning enough bread to be fully satisfied, because the Lord has heard your murmurings against him. For what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against God. So when you get up and you ask yourself the people them in your life, like I say, things not right and whatever, you know, cause this somebody, cause God, because I say, a fool move this. Wagwan eso. yeah, fix up your argument though. Remember, a God had a man in charge. But anyway, moving down, eventually they got food and they were disobedient. For some, when they saw the food, right, that the Lord had given them, they took up enough, quote-unquote enough, to serve them for the next day. But these people, just like us, where we are trying to do what we're not supposed to do, it end up spoil. So the food spoil and it turned worm. It got foul, it got rotten. And that's the thing, disobedience, it gets rotten, it gets foul. And if we allow it to linger and we don't deal with it, we're going to go to hell, literally. Go to hell, and a worm we're going to deal with. So that's to show you a connection. Foul, rotten, worm, sin, fire, hell, do better, repent, listen. Right? But if they but when they listened, you know, the food that they would have tasted would have been sweet. It's so lovely to consume. And you know, when you go over to Psalm 78, we realize that they called it manna. And this manna that they were eating was literally angels' food. Angels' food, you know? And remember, I think it is in Psalm 18 where it says that the Lord created us a little lower than the angels. So in the creation rank, angels well up a top, you know, brother. So that goes to show me that, yo, and I feel so bad. Many times the Lord, even in his newness, he is doing something great, you know. But because it's not what we're used to, we don't think that God is giving us his best. Kind of want to cry. That's me. A lot of times, the Lord wants to give me his best. But I want to look back at the past and say, God, this is what I used to have. But God is saying, Shakira, just trust me now. Just obey me now. Just keep my statutes and my commandments now. Remember my promises. Remember, I'm not a man that will lie. Remember that I will not withhold any good thing from you. So he was there giving them angels food. And even so, they were still not satisfied. And like I said, that is us. That is us. That is us. God is giving us the best. We because we don't know everything, we grumble and we complain. No, he also wanted them to rest. But these people, they went out into the fields hoping to get more when the Lord had already provided. That opens up something else, another can of worms perhaps, where God wants us to just rest in the blessing that he has given us. But then there is greed. And in the greed, it still shows evidence that you don't trust God. I don't know who this is for, with inclusion of myself, but we really need to get it better. Because if this is the state, if this is the condition of our heart, then we're really not there. We're really not there. We're really not there. In Revelation 3, I think verse 18 or verse 16, when the Lord had written to the church, the one Laodicea, don't know how to pronounce it, but that one, he spoke to them in verse 15 and he said, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold, which is invigorating and refreshing, nor hot, healing, therapeutic. I wish that you were hot, cold or hot. Which means, the side note is, alive, productive, beneficial in one way or the other. And it says the phrase and the word lukewarm in verse 16 form a metaphor that is probably based on the quality of water supply of Laodicea, which was delivered by aqueduct from the hot mineral springs about 5 miles away. During its journey, the water cooled to a warm or lukewarm temperature. Interesting. The Lord is just so creative. But the essence of this is that they were neither hot nor cold. So because you are lukewarm, spiritually useless, and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth, rejecting you with disgust. Because you say, I am rich and have prospered and grown wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are a wretched and miserable and that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked without hope and great need. I counsel you to buy from me gold that has been heated red hot and refined by fire, that you may become truly rich, and white clothes representing righteousness to clothe yourself, so that the shame of your nakedness will not be seen, and healing salve to put on your eyes so that you may see. So in essence, what all of this is saying is that we feel like we're there and we're not there. We feel like we're rich, and we have the clothes, and we're wealthy, and we're not in need of nothing. But we do even realize the state of our hearts. And you may say, but I have all that I need. But let me put it back into perspective. No. What I'm basically getting at is that many times as Christians, we think because we go to church, we pray, and all these things, we're there. But if we should really, really check the condition of our hearts, we realize that it's just a lot of lip service, and it's just a lot of what God is doing for me now. Because as soon as things go bad, where are we? What are we using our words to do? How is it that our words have easily turned into complaints rather than praise? That even that I vow to praise you in the good and the bad, I vow to praise you whether I am happy or I am sad. Now, as I keep saying, I vow, in the last episode, we talked about idolatry is adultery. Now, that's why sometimes I'm so careful with what I say, because this song is not just a song, it's a vow. It is us renewing our vows, God, because remember when I said that, yes, I will marry you. I will take on your name in baptism. I will be a part of your family. I was also saying that I will serve you for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. And even in death, we will not part, because I will stick with you through eternity. Now, we said that before. That comes what me, I will do everything that will not interfere with how well our relationship will be. Because the thing is, I want to be with you over on the other side of eternity. But then, you know, something happens and then I forget. And I'm like, we shouldn't even have been married. If I had known that 70 days in, there would be a drought or a famine, I wouldn't have said yes. That's a lot of us. That's a lot of us. We feel like because we have answered the call, everything is going to be smooth sailing. But the truth is that it is not. It is not. It is not. It is not. If Jesus endured it, what say us? And he is God. manifest in the flesh. What say us? But the thing is, he is that stable husband, that stable partner. You know, if you're a man, you feel weird. That will not walk out. But we are that adulterous bride that just wants to walk out. But like I said, I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. I praise you whether happy or sad. I praise you in all that I go through, because praise is what I do. Loving you is how I stay true. But that's a lie. That's a lie for many of us. But I want this to trigger you as much as it has been triggering me, to ensure that your heart is there. Because like I said earlier, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How can you see him if your heart is filled with bitterness? If it's a case where the condition, he just wants to vomit, you're repulsive, how will I go see him? My mama did tell about the rot and the foulness and the worms. Whenever we see a condition like that, of course we all vomit. We can't blame God for if we just vomit we out. So that's to show us who you need to get it right. Lord Jesus, please help me. Please help this generation. Please help us, God. Please help us. We have allowed God to be like a genie that grants our wishes. And the moment that it seems like it's not going the way that we want it to go, we say there is no God and God doesn't care. But that's a lie. I don't remember which scripture. I think it's in Micah, where he says that I hear you. I'm listening to you. I'm trying to find it. I don't remember where it is, but somewhere he says that I hear you. And there are a lot of places where it says I hear, but there's a specific scripture that I want to find. But he literally hears. But the world wants it to seem like our relationship is based on me and me alone, when it should be the other way. It's really about him. But I really just want this generation to do it better. We have to. We need to. Because like I said, if we don't, we just won't see his face. In closing, this is my affirmation. While I was reading Exodus and the Lord was talking about actively keeping my statutes and commandments, it brought me back to Psalm 19 verse 7 to 11, where I've literally just been repeating over and over again. It acts as a confirmation of sorts. So here it is. And this is a KJV version. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. If we keep his statutes, just like the bitter water was before, it's going to turn sweet, even in the bitterness. And if we stick with him while he does a new thing, certainly he will give us the best of the best, like angels foods. And of course that too will also be sweet. In Ezekiel chapter 2, the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and said, these are the words that I will want you to say, and so on. And he gave him a scroll. And in chapter 3, he told him to eat the scroll. And that sounds like a very weird instruction. Like, God, why will I eat your words? Why? But eventually, you know, he ate the words and he said, it is sweet. That tells me that everything about the Lord, as long as we stick it out together, it's going to be sweet. My bitterness will be made sweet. Naomi called herself Mara because she was enduring a bitter situation. But by the end of it, she didn't keep that identity because she saw the Lord's hand in her life and things became sweet. Here's the thing too that I will leave with you. Many times we will be in a state that we don't want to be in, oppressed. And from oppression, there will be bitterness. From bitterness, there will be sweetness. And then the sweetness will lead us to the land of milk and honey. While this came to me, it came to me like a color pattern. Color palette. Or patoon. I don't know the expression. But it's this thing where you have the different colors fading in to transition. And when you're looking at it, you're like, how did these colors blend to come out of this? So you have some examples with black. And then the black go to the gray, and then it go to the white, to the creamish looking, then go into white. That's how it is. So oppression, bitterness, sweetness, land of milk and honey. Don't allow the oppression to make you think that you won't have a grand exit. No, where for those who are in the exit, you may look back at the oppression and you look forward and you see wilderness, bitterness. Don't allow the wilderness, bitterness to cause you to think that there won't be sweetness. But now I have my sweetness, and that may make me want to be comfortable to stay in the land for 40 years, which could have been a 40 days exiting. Don't allow this state of sweetness to make you forget his promise of that land flowing with milk and honey. Now I take that further. While we're on earth, we will be oppressed. We will have exits. We will have wilderness and bitterness. And we will also have sweetness. Don't allow ourselves to be like the people of Laodicea, where we think we have it all and we don't. We get comfortable. There is another land after this. So ensure your heart is right, so that in the other side of eternity, we can say, yes, heaven bless. This is the land flowing with milk and honey. This is the real milk and honey. I am so happy that I stuck it out with you. Your words indeed are sweet and they stay true. I love you, boo. But just going to the words, guys. Going to the words and going to prayer. And if it's the case where you need to repent, Psalm 51 is there to help you. So that's all for now. yeah, that is all for now. If you're somebody who always listened, if you're like a Nasanta, that time it was like Nasanta Reel. I don't know what the apostleship for the ownership of the reel was, but yeah. If you're like an OG, I guess you'd realize that this was kind of like one of them old episodes back then. Because this was literally how it used to go, where we examine scriptures and practicalize it and stuff like that. And I think that's where I really want us to go back. I kind of missed it. But yeah. But thank you for listening. And please do share this episode with someone. It has been a blessing to share. It has been so eye-opening for me. And I know that it will be a blessing for others. So please do not be selfish. Share it with other people. Share it. We all need to do that heart test. We all need to see if we're being that lukewarm Christian and get it right, because we don't want to be spewed out. We don't want God to vomit us, to find us repulsive. All right? So, yeah, thanks for listening. And I love you guys. I really do. And I'm so, so thankful that you're a part of this ministry. I am. I really am. So, yeah, remember that you are to be the sheep of Christ, and thy sheep knows his voice. So here's a reminder that you are his sheep. Listen for my sheep. Listen for the sheep. All right. Yeah. Shake it transition. This is Nasanta saying it's been real, and I'm signing out. Bye.